It is. It is. Come on. How many of you know that that cup contains substance that we put in there and put it into our bodies for nourishment, for getting rid of that thirst? How many of you know that? Aren't we the same way with Jesus? Come on now, somebody. Aren't we the vessel? Aren't we the cup for Jesus to pour into and for us to pour out to others? Come on, somebody. We're making it real today. We're making it real. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be vessels. And we're called to give out what God has given us. And today we're going to talk about that. So I want you to turn into your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And we're going to read a little bit here. We're going to talk about being vessels for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to start in verse 5. Verse 5. Some of y'all might know where I'm going with this, and y'all are right. It's good stuff. So, 2 Corinthians 4, 5. If you got your Bible app, just type in the search part. If you have tabs on your Bible, which I always thought was cheating, and, you know, when I was in Sunday school, oh, he's got tabs on his Bible. He can find it so quickly. Now it's like, oh, I got a little phone that can do all that fun stuff. Little app. I'm so quick now. Oh, goodness. The things we do as kids. So 2 Corinthians 4, 5. Going to start reading. For what we preach is not ourselves. Amen? But Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we, talking about who? We're talking about we have this treasure in jars of clay. We're a jar of clay. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I love that part. Do you love that part? I love that part. I just want to camp out there just for a second. But we have this treasure. That treasure is this all-surpassing power. Do you know you have all-surpassing power? All-surpassing power. Think about that for a minute. And that kind of just stunned me. I was like, all-surpassing power. That's a lot of power, isn't it? That's a lot more than nuclear energy. That's a lot more than, you know, being, you know, like a superhero, being able to lift cars or lift buildings or, you know, things like that. All surpassing power. And we have access to that. So when we're praying for somebody, we have access to that supernatural power, that all surpassing power that God has given us. And it's not because of us, though. It's not because of us. It's because of Him. Because He gives that to us. But we have access to be able to tap into that. Amen? All right, just want to camp out there for a second. I love that. Yes, sir? Well, I'll tell you how we tap into that. All right, we're going to tap into that. So, it says also, going back, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I'll tell you what, I liked the other part where it said all surpassing power is from God and not from us. I like to stop right there because that makes it nice. You know, that makes it nice to be in. All right, all surpassing power, let's go. And then this comes up. For we are pressed on every side. That doesn't sound fun. But we're perplexed. We're persecuted and we're struck down. I don't like the way that sounds. Do you guys? I really don't. I like that all surpassing power. I just want to camp out there and just stay there the whole time. Like, yes, Lord. But then there comes another part. And we're going to talk about two areas of that vessel. And what that shows is, part of that is the two areas as we're going to talk about is the inward part and the outward part of the vessel. The jars of clay that we're talking about. So first of all is the inward, the making of the vessel. And the making of the vessel goes with, we are hard pressed on every side. And it shows also, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. So all those things happen to the vessel. Now, one thing about the vessel I want to make sure that you know about is the vessel does not choose who made it, but functions how it was made. So we ourselves, we didn't choose who made us. Did you choose who made it? Did you choose your parents? Did you choose God who made you? No. But we have a, but we function how we were made. Let me give you an example, okay? Pastor Kurt, he's not here, so I'm going to pick on him. I love Pastor Kurt. Pastor Kurt, how many of you love Pastor Kurt? Do you love Pastor Kurt? I do, yes. Woo, woo, you know, I mean, I'll give you that. So we love Pastor Kurt. But Pastor Kurt is a connector. If you know Pastor Kurt, you know he likes to connect with people. You look out the hall, he's out there connecting right now. Oh, busted. It's all right, he's ministering. It's okay. So Pastor Kurt loves to connect with people. That's his function. That's what he does. That's what he was made to do. He does it really well. But if we take Pastor Kurt and put him right here in front of the mic and give him a guitar and tell him to lead worship, besides a miracle, it's not going to happen very well. That function is not going to happen very well at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we all have a function and we all have a purpose. We did not choose who made us, but we function in how we were made. Just like that water bottle. Let me give you a little visual example. So just like this water bottle right here, this was made to hold the whole liquid, to hold water. It's not very good as a hammer, is it? No. It's not very good as, you know, you can build a house with this. I mean, maybe you could if you're really, really, you know, really artsy. You maybe could. But this is, its primary function is to hold liquid, hold water, hold soda, hold something like that. And that's something that we need to focus on today, because God has called us to be vessels. So we're going to go with the inward, the making part of the vessel. So it says in the word, it says that we are hard, it says in the verse that we are hard pressed on every side. I don't like the sound of that. Hard pressed on every side. You know, with making things, you have to find out what it's made of. You have to make it stronger. And hard pressed on every side means you're making something better than what it would be normally. Now, I have a wonderful, beautiful, great wife. She is wonderful. Mother of my kids. Yes, you can clap for her. You can clap for her. Pastor Steph, yes. Yes, she is wonderful in so many ways. Great helpmate, great anointing, great personality, beautiful. I love you, honey. There's no but that's coming on this one. There's no but. It's just that God loves her too and decides to use her to help me be hard-pressed on every side. That's what it gets hard time. Now, I'm not saying that is a bad thing. I'm not saying that. Now, listen to me. Listen to my heart. It's not a bad thing that I'm hard-pressed, because God uses her to edge out some of the roughness in me. It's not that she's doing things because she's nagging or anything like that. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God is using her to pray for me because I have some rough areas. I have some blind spots. Don't we all? I mean, if you're married, you know you got blind spots. I'm just saying. If you don't, you're blind. It's like that. I mean, you really are.
So, Pastor Van, say that one more time because that's my sermon next Sunday.
Yes. We all have blind spots? All right. So there it is. We're going to see the next sermon. It's going to be, we all have blind spots. It's true. It's true. I have blind spots. So when it's pressed on every side, that means God is using that to mold me and make me into something better. And he will use anybody. He uses my wife. He uses my kids. They are wonderful people. But sometimes I might not think they're as wonderful as they are because I'm getting pressed on every side. But I have to realize it's not them. It's me that God is working on. And that's something we have to rely on. Saying, God, we may be hard-pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. What, we're not crushed? Come on, somebody. We're not crushed. Even though God may have using these people to do things in our lives, we are not crushed. God will give us what we can handle through him. What that comes down to is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. God, help me to understand that I may be pressed from every side, but not crushed because of your Spirit and because you live inside of me. Second thing, perplexed. How many of y'all get perplexed? I get perplexed. I'm like, God, what are you doing? What is going on inside your massively awesomeness? This is not the way you should do it. Let me tell you, God, let me tell you how it should be done, all right? If I was God, let me show you how it's going to be done, all right? You know, don't we all get like that? Come on. Let's be honest. Don't lie because you're in church. Don't lie. You shouldn't lie outside of church either, but don't lie because you're in church. We don't know what's going on. We have no idea what's next. But you know, we have his peace. Because it says, perplexed, but not in despair. God doesn't leave us in a place of perplexed. He gives us hope. He shows us the way. He gives us peace. Peace of mind, doesn't he? Come on, somebody. That's right. That's a mind issue. So God works on our heart. Being hard-pressed, he works on our mind with perplexed. And then he works on our spirit, which is persecuted. Oh, how many of y'all love to be persecuted? Oh, that's just my favorite thing to do. I just can't wake up. Oh, let me get a nice cup of persecution in the morning. Oh, so good. So good. I love to drink this persecution. Woo! I'm like, oh, no. Not thirsting. No, that's right, Pastor Steve. I'm not thirsting for persecution. No, thank you. But how many of you know it's a... when we get persecuted, who's going to never leave us nor forsake us? Come on. And that's why it's a spirit thing. When we get persecuted, are we going to deny God before men so that he may deny us before his Father? No. We're going to show men about Jesus so that when Jesus shows us before his Father, we're going to show that how it is. Because that's a spirit issue. That's our spirit. He will never leave us nor forsake us. It says persecuted, but not abandoned. Not abandoned. We don't have to feel that orphan spirit. We don't have to feel any of that because we've been not abandoned by him. Sometimes it may feel like in your life that things are not going the way it's planned. You might feel like you're in a lonely place. Let me tell you something. If you do feel like that, God is right there beside you. He is right there beside you. He is right there beside you. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter what you're doing or what God has, you know, whatever situation you're in, whether it's from your own agenda or from somebody else's or something, or life just happens. But let me tell you, he's always going to be there with you. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be with you, Facebook. Come on, somebody. Never leave you nor forsake you. So that's the spirit. God's working on your spirit then. And then the last one, which can be tough. It says, struck down. Ooh, struck down. Man, that doesn't sound like any fun at all. Man, why are you preaching this tough stuff, man? Gosh, just let me, give me three easy sermon points and let me go home. No, that's not how we do it here at CLCC. That's not how we do it here. The Lord disciplines who he loves. And if he didn't love you, he'd just leave you to your own accord. He loves you so much. He wants to bring out the best in you. That's why we're talking about this today. He wants you to be the best vessels. He's calling you to be mighty warriors. He's calling you to rise up. He doesn't want you starving any longer. He wants you thriving. And that's why we talk about this stuff. That's why God gives us the pastors and the elders and deacons. That's why he gives us these things. That's why he gives us to each and every one of us as Christians. He gives us things to stir us up to achieve the destiny, whether it's through a person or whether it's through an actual being or an actual part that we play. He wants us to reach it. He wants us to go for it because he loves us, because that is what we're fulfilled to do. This vessel. The vessel doesn't choose who made it, but functions how it was made. We were made for a function, and we got to walk into it. Come on, somebody. So back to struck down. Whew. Struck down means our situations, our circumstances, and it can sometimes mean our failures. How many of you like to fail? Oh, it's so, being very sarcastic, it is my favorite thing to do ever. Being very sarcastic. No, nobody likes to fail. Come on. You know, I never liked getting up to the free throw line in basketball, getting up there, you know, bouncing, and then shooting. and it doesn't go in. Oh, it's like, oh, not good. No, no. Never like to fail. But struck down, but not destroyed. How many of you know that when we have failures, they can build? If we let them, they can build our character. God can build those things in us. And this is talking about others, loving others to be particular. And you're like, wow, yeah, struck down. How many of you have been struck down or failed by a person before? I mean, I'm sure everybody can raise your hand on that one. I mean, it's true. It's true. We're imperfect. We're mere mortals. We don't get it all right. Even Christians, pastors, we all don't get it right all the time. We don't. But when we get struck down, we're not destroyed because God wants to do something with us. That's great. And even when with others, loving them, it's tough because sometimes we get struck down by them. Sometimes it happens and it's painful. It's hurtful. Don't let the bitterness rise up. Don't let unforgiveness go. Place it underneath the blood. Place it underneath His blood. And not be destroyed by being struck down. Amen? Come on, somebody. This is good. This is tough. A little tough word. But God wants to do great things. God wants to do great things. You know, this water bottle had to go through a big process before it became this. It was like little pellets about this big before it was made of something like this where I can... Anything less than that thing would have broke. I'm just telling you. Anything less than that thing would have broke. But because it's been through a process, it's been through some molding, it's been through some perplexed, some persecution, some struck down, some hard pressed on every side, it can be what it's functionality for. Come on, somebody. So that is what the vessel is. That's the highlight of the vessel. Now the second part, that's the inward making of it. Now the second part is the outward part. So we have this vessel. We are jars of clay. We've got all surpassing power inside of us, which is great. Yes. And we're still always being changed, which is great. But we're not called just to be a vessel. We're called to hold something in us. That's surpassing power. We're called to do something great. And it doesn't matter what type of water bottle you are. Maybe you're more like this water bottle. Or maybe you're more like this one. Or maybe you've had some rough stuff happening in here. Maybe you've had some rough times. This is what I say. Maybe you feel like you've been a little pressed on every side. That one. Crushed. I mean, you've been persecuted, it looks like, on this one. Or maybe you feel like you've been struck down. Maybe you've been like struck down on this one. There's a little bit more. That one's been struck down a little bit. Been crinkled a little bit there. Or maybe you're doing pretty good. Maybe you're like, all right, God, I'm giving in. I'm surrendering. I'm doing what you're told me to do. Even though it's not easy, and it never is, but I'm surrendering. I'm giving all to you. And then you're filling my cup with good stuff. Maybe it's like that. It doesn't matter what water bottle or what stage, because we've all been through this stage. Let me tell you. And some of us are still maybe going through this stage, which is okay. And that's all right. This thing will still, even though it's like this, it still holds water. God's not done with us yet. This is the way I feel sometimes. I'll tell you, to be honest, it's true. But God's not done. And He's going to be faithful to complete this work that He started. Amen? So let's go to John 2. So we're going to talk about the outward, the pouring out of the vessel. So John 2. And some of you might know what's going on with this one already. John 2. And just give you a little synopsis of what's happening is weddings, feasts. How many of y'all like weddings? Woo! Yeah. You do? Okay. Maybe one or two. All right. Not a big fan of weddings, maybe. I know I was at a wedding yesterday, very happy for the couple that got married, you know. They ever see this, Kyle and Erica? Blessings to you guys. Glad you had a good time. So, went to a wedding yesterday. And it's amazing because Jesus did His first miracle at a wedding, at a celebration. Isn't that cool? It's like He loved weddings. Jesus loved weddings. And so, just giving you a little summary of what's happened in the story. the wedding party ran out of wine. And that's a bad thing. That is a huge, because it would dishonor them. It would dishonor their family. It was a big thing back then. It was a really big thing. Probably the way that I could say it, and it was now, but back then was, if you invite 100 people to the reception, but said, oh, wait a minute, and it was a whole city thing. It wasn't just, you know, your few little families. I mean, it was a big celebration. Like, the whole town comes out. It would be like inviting all of Newville to say, come to my reception, and then say, oh, we're going to serve 50 people. That's it. Sorry. The rest of you are out of luck. That's how bad it would be. The shame and the, it's a lot. And so, you know, Mary, mother of Jesus, said, can you do something about this? It's just summarized. He's like, my time's not come yet. And then Mama knows son. He's like, just watch. Because I know about him and his compassion. I know about him because his father's good. So she asks the servants to watch, to whatever he says to do, do it. So he tells the servants, bring these 6 jars, fill them full of water, and then serve them. And then we see what happens is that the water turns into wine. And the best wine. Yeah, I should say the best wine. And it was like, wow, this wine is so amazing. And like I said, I'm just summarizing a little bit for you. But I want to ask you a question. We have the vessel. God's been working on us. And we're holding good things in us. We are holding good things. We're holding good water. But God wants us to start, instead of pouring out water, pouring out wine. And that only happens by His empowerment. When you mix our desire with His presence and His miraculous power, things happen. Don't they? Miracles can happen. Awesome things can happen. Signs and wonders. All these wonderful things that we read about can happen. But we have to be willing. And we have to be ready to go for it. Because sometimes it's tough to go for. Sometimes it's a little scary to go for it. I don't know, Lord. You want me to pray for that person? I don't know. The difference in being pouring out regular water instead of pouring out wine is regular water will help somebody. So, say, use this for example. Regular water, if I see a person in a wheelchair, I was like, oh, let me bless you, you know, bless your family and that stuff. Regular water will say, bless you, and, you know, may you be in good health. Wine will be like, get up and walk. That's the difference between the two. Water is good. What we have, what God has put inside, is good. There's nothing wrong with it. But if we want to take it to the next level, we have to surrender to Him and let Him use His miraculous power through us, His all-surpassing power through us to watch things happen. How many of y'all want that? I know I do. I want that in my life. I need that in my life because I don't want to stay where I am. God has so much in store for us here at CLCC. God has so much good stuff deposited in us. Are we willing to let Him change this water into wine? Are we willing to continue to be used as a vessel? To be continued. I mean, we're never done until we reach heaven. We're never done until we reach heaven. To be hard-pressed, to be perplexed, to be persecuted, struck down. Are we still going to continue doing this? I know I am. Because I know that God wants to put water inside of me, but then He wants to turn it to wine for others. He wants to use me in mighty ways. And it's not just me, not because I'm a pastor. No, it's everyone. Anyone. Because we all have the same Christ that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We all have that same power. We all have that same thing. It's not a special thing for only one or two people. No, Jesus is inside of all of us. And He can do it. We just have to tap into it. And tapping into it means that we're willing to go through that process, that we're willing to accept Him, that we're willing to not just be satisfied with what He's given us, but wanting more. We say, thank You, Lord, for what You've given us. Thank You, Lord. We're content with what You've given us. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, but more of him. Because we know that he can turn that water into wine. And then when we pour that out on others, sets them free. How many of you have ever seen somebody set free before? It's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome. When you pray for someone, you see chains broken. You see a reaction that God is touching their heart. There's nothing like that. Especially seeing someone that was saved. That's amazing. Seeing someone come to Christ. Man, there's not a greater feeling, not a greater thing than that. But we have to be willing to let God pour out those things. We have to be willing for that. And it's interesting because here at CLCC, our vision statement is loving God and serving others. At CLCC, love and relationships are vital. We want to be a place where God's presence is invited, welcome, and cherished. Don't we? We want to be a place where people are more important than meetings, programs, or agendas. We want to be a place where love is not just talked about, but shown through honor, respect, and care. We want to be a people who can connect to every generation and them to us to learn what each may need and how we can be used to meet those needs, even as Jesus did and demonstrated. We want to provide an atmosphere where healing and reconciliation of relationships will both be allowed and encouraged. I'm not making this stuff up, church. It's right here in black and white. It's on that wall over there. This is what we are at CLCC. This is what we stand for. This is what our vision statement is. And there is more. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to let you read it. You do your own homework. That's my little one. Just kind of... It's all right. It's always babies or bees. The biggest two distractions in church. Always. But it's okay. She's cute. She's adorable. Y'all might not remember anything that's sermon, but I remember Isabel walking around. That's... No. I think God is good. God is good. He's going to give you more than that. But I want you guys to take a look. I made a copy of it for myself. Take a look at that vision statement outside. Take a look at that. It's right there on the door, right over there, on that wall. Take a look. This is who we are. This is our vision statement as CLCC. And I want to encourage every one of us to go for it, to go after it. And sometimes it means never going back to the status quo. Once you cross that line, you can't go back. Because if you try to go back, let me tell you what happens. When you cross that line and you experience the wine that God is flowing through you, the presence that God is flowing through you, that happens, you realize that if you try to go back to the mundane, to the ordinary, you can't. You can't. Unless you backslide. You can't do it unless you become so plateaued in your Christian life and you become lukewarm. That's what happens. I'm being real. Because once you've tasted and seen the goodness of God, and you've seen great things, if you try to go back to that, you know in your heart where you are with the Lord. God, I just want to be status quo. I just want to be that. You're giving up so much just for that. That God wants to use you in so many awesome and different ways, but you're limiting Him, and you're limiting yourself on what your function could be. God wants to change your life today. So when we have this normal water, it's good. God has put some good things inside of us. Pastor Kurt, would you come here for a second? I picked on you enough today. I'll give you some good stuff. Would you say that's normal water? Would you drink that?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and drink. Go ahead and drink. Normal water.
Yeah, normal water.
Normal water. Nothing interesting about that.
No.
All right. But when we have a little bit of God's presence in us, would you say that water looks a little different now?
A little bit. Yeah.
When we have God's presence in us, things are a little bit different. Pastor Kurt, how does that taste now? I think you'll like it. Good stuff.
Very good.
See how everything's changed all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You can drink that if you want.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. God changes not just what you look like, but what you produce.
Yes.
And that's what He wants to do today at CLCC.
Yes.
He wants to have us not just flow out water, but turn that water into wine. And I never want to go back to just being water. Because if I go back, I'm denying everything that God has in store for me. So I want us all just to stand right now. And we're just going to enter into a time where we can really make that declaration. So I'm going to play a song. And on this song, I just want you to enjoy the presence of the Lord. But I want you to talk to Jesus. Say, God, I want to have that wine. I've been perplexed. I've been hard-pressed at every time. I've been persecuted. I've been struck down. And You haven't left me. And You're always with me. But God, I don't want to just produce water. I want to produce wine. And the only way I do those is by getting into Your presence and getting more of You. And letting You do the work in me. So if you want to play that for me, John, thank you so much. We want more of You. We made a decision today that we're just not going to produce just water, that we want to produce wine. And that wine only comes from You. Father, we're willing to let You change us. We're willing to be used by You, O God. We're willing to step out. And so, Lord, we thank You, Father. We thank You. Like Your word says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Thank You, Father, for working on us, helping us with these things. These hearts, this mind, this spirit, and others. We ask that You continue to help us in these areas. And Father, that we might flow that wine, that You would impact others around us, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You guys be blessed. Have a wonderful day.